We are up to Simon Mem Dalet. Simon Mem Dalet begins the laws of Mayim Acharonim and Birchas Hamazon. Bedin Mayim Acharonim Harbe Mekilim. With regard to Mayim Acharonim, Mayim Acharonim applies the whole week. People make this mistake and think you only have to wash Mayim Acharonim on Shabbos. That's totally not. That's total nonsense. There's no difference between Shabbos and a Monday morning. Just like we wash Mayim Acharonim on Shabbos, we must wash Mayim Acharonim on a Monday morning. There are two reasons why we wash Mayim Acharonim. Number one, because sometimes our hands are dirty. It's a practical reason. It's not proper, it's not their heretz to recite Birchas HaMazon with dirty hands. If you go in front of a king, you go properly dressed, clean clothing, and your body has to be clean. So that's number one. You have to have clean hands. Number two, it's because of Inyone Sakon, Inyone Kabol. Well, I take it back. Let's take it back. That's a third reason. The other reason is because Melach Sedomis. It's Minig Avosein B'Yodeinu. In ancient times, it was common to have a certain type of salt. Salt which came from Sedom. And if Chas V'Shalom, a small teeny particle of this salt gets in one's eyes, he can become blind. Therefore, since people would dip their bread in salt, there could be some type of residue of salt on your fingertips, and if you don't wash your hands in the remainder of the day, you may put your hands on your eyes. Chamira sakanta yosem isur. Chazal were very strict. The person should wash his hands before he recites Birchas HaMazon. Now, bizmana, that's second reason. There's a third reason. The third reason is, we don't know what this is all about. Inyanei Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalistic reason. There's no logic behind it. The Satan is extremely jealous when we recite Birchas HaMazon. It's one of two brachas that are min HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah is min HaTorah, and Birchas HaMazon is min HaTorah. And the greatest possible skula today, everyone, we live in a generation where we're obsessed, some of us, with segulos, searching for all different things that will bring us success and fortune and good health and so on and so forth. The greatest skula is to bench properly. To bench Birchas HaMazon slowly, word for word, according to halacha. The Satan is extremely jealous of this opportunity, and the way we get rid of him, don't ask me how this works, is to wash your hands. When you wash your hands a small amount of water, you're giving him a bone. You're throwing him a bone. He's happy. He got what he wants. And he leaves us alone. So basically, we have three reasons for Mayim Acharonim. Now, Kabbalah, not everyone is into Inyanei Kabbalah. So you can be Meikah. Melech Sedomis, no, we don't have Bizman HaZem Melech Sedomis. We're not going to find, it doesn't exist today among us on our dining room tables. You're not going to find Melech Sedomis. So there's no Sakon to the arts. Your hands are dirty? Not really, because today, Baruch Hashem, we're all very civilized. Everyone here uses a fork, a spoon, a knife. Everyone is very civilized. So it's not likely your hands are going to be filthy dirty when you recite Birchas HaMazon. Therefore, it has become the custom to be very lenient with regard to Mayim Acharonim. Again, there are three reasons on Acharonim, and pretty much three of them don't apply. Not that they don't apply, it's just that Kabbalah, again, we're not Mikubolim, so we're not into this. Stomus is certainly not a problem. Hands been clean, our hands are clean enough. That's why there are grounds to be Mekel, and indeed for this reason, Noshim, women, and children generally are very lenient. Okay, no one should ever force his wife or his child to wash Mayim Acharonim. Men, adults, you can be Mekel, and people are lenient, but it's a Mayla since there is something to it. It's Minig Avosein B'Yodeinu, even though the reasons do not necessarily apply. It is in Shulchan Aruch. It is something which was done, and it's something that's proper to do. Therefore, that's why it's Shulchan Aruch, and that's why it is done. However, there are many leniencies, even for people who do Mayim Acharonim. Let's see. B'din Mayim Acharonim Harbi Mekil Mavul Nochon L'chol Yorei Shemayim Lizoher Bohem. It's proper to be Mach. That's the proper thing to do. The Ein Tzrich Litul Ella Ad Perek Sheni Minhu Etzvaos. One first leniency is you don't have to wash until the wrist. When we learned the laws in the Tilas Yadayim, we mentioned that ideally you should wash all the way until the wrist. When you wash Mayim Acharonim, you don't have to wash until the wrist. Even one there wouldn't be enough water even for one person. Many people have in their home these very lavish mayim achronim, silver cups. How much water do they have in those mayim? A teeny amount of water. Can you imagine if you bring out mayim achronim and you want to wash all the way until the wrist? You're in a lot of trouble. Like a big mess also on the table. So you only have to wash until the second joint. Now, the truth is, the small amount of cups, the small amount of water that is in the fancy mayim achronim cups is not in any way enough for what the halacha requires until the knuckles. The ikar hadin, you have to wash until the knuckles. That's the knuckles. You shall lower your hands before you dry them in order the water to drip off. And who washes first? The one that washes, the one that will lead the benching, the one that's on with Birchas HaMazon is the one that washes first. Now the halach is, it all depends on how many people there are. Because if there are going to be 20 people sitting around your dining room table and you wash, the halach, by the way, is once you wash Shmayim Achron, and we'll see later on, you're not allowed to talk. So, if you are sitting at a meal and there are 25 people and you wash Mayim Achronim first, you can no longer participate in the conversation. Each person is knocked off one at a time. So, the Baal HaBayis likes to be in control. He likes to be able to call the shots until the very, very end. So, you would expect that the Baal HaBayis should be the last one to wash Mayim Achronim. On the other hand, the one that goes first is always considered to be the one that's the most honored. So the pshara is, the custom is that the Baal HaBayis is the first of the last five people to wash. So you pass around the Mayim Achronim, everyone washes, and then when you get down to the last five, the one that will recite Zimun, the one that will lead the benching, assuming in this example it's the Baal HaBayis, he will be the one that will wash the first of the last five, and that's what it means over here. What?
What's the Indian reporting? I see it in the shoes. You wash my and you put it on the floor.
Okay, so we'll discuss that. So, because this halacha of Mayim Achronim, as we mentioned, is not negiah b'zman hazeh. And as far as Kabbalah is concerned, even the smallest amount of water would appear to do the trick to get the satan away from us. So it's not a real washing. It's not a real washing, it's a token. It's a token fulfillment. You get your hands wet, symbolism, you pour your hands, you acknowledge the halacha, that it used to be in ancient times, the hands were filthy dirty because they ate with their fingers, they did not eat with utensils. It used to be there was Melech Sodomis. We are not Nizramis Bizman Hazeb, but we have respect for the halacha, so we do a token fulfillment of the halacha. Ideally, you should do what it says here in Shulchan Aruch. You should wash them at least until the knuckles. And you should make sure the water should be, it says here that you v'yashbol yodav koidim sheminagvam, you should lower your hands. I think that's a Kabbalistic concept. Before you dry them, okay, we'll see a little bit more. Now let's right away see what it says here in the Shiurim Shem Halach, something very interesting. Okay, that's later on. Let's go further. Let's be Halach Beis. Ein oilim al gabi karakum b'mokam shebnei adam holchim b'mnei shuruch roshar alamayim elu. Al pi Kabbalah. Okay, this is the Kabbalistic reason. There's a ruach ra that rests upon these waters, and therefore do not let the water fall on the floor where people walk barefoot, because it's going to get into their blood, and that will come bring them lidei sakana. Eliyita l'sech kli, you shall wash into a utensil tachas hashulchan or underneath the table in the place where no one's going to walk. Umenagev yadav, you shall dry your hands v'achach, and after you finish drying your hands, mevarich birchas hamazon. V'lo yafsik, the halacha is, many people do not know this halacha, you are not allowed to talk after you wash mayim achronim. Once you wash mayim achronim, to speak. Yafsik means to speak. V'lo yafsik, you're not allowed to be mafsik in dibur vein hanetila lebirchas hamazon. Ein, okay, now then, that's all. It's very short. He has very few halachas for mayim achronim. Let's see what it says in the Shi'onim. It's a fantastic Shi'onim. Also, okay, I'm going to read to you something from. He has a lot of interesting things here from the Piskei Tshuvos. Let's first see what it says in the Shi'onim from halacha. Aleph, shayre ruach, Sharuach Rosh Shor al Amayim El. So it's very interesting. Perish. Al Amayim Shehem al Akarka. Sharuach Rosh. It's Kabbalah. The Ruach Rosh only rests upon the water that falls on the floor. But the water that remains on your hand, not everyone dries their hands so well with mayim achronim. So maybe you'd not be misled to believe I'm at a meal and I wash my achronim, my hands are still moist and the meal is over, I get it from benching and I walk around and I touch an open wound or I touch a child or I touch some part of the body, I'm bringing upon that part of the body or upon that person a ruach ra. Because we mentioned that when you wash, the water that falls on the floor, you have to be careful, it should not be on the part of the floor where people walk around barefoot because they can come with a sakana. So in the same way there's ruach ra on the water that falls on the floor, there's ruach ra on the water that's on my hands. The answer is no. Why is the answer no? Because this is now Derech HaTeva, this is in Yonei Kabbalah, and according to these mystical rules, it's only Ruach Ra on the water that's on the floor, not on your hand. Aval HaYadayim Shein Shehein Toifchos, your hands which are moist, Mimayim Elu, Ein Shora HaRuach Ra. V'chein Mashma Merashi, U'mehaytayim HaKosav HaMechaber, HaMayim Achroinim Ein Tzrichim Niguf. Me'ikar HaDin, you don't have to draw your hands. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says it's mashma koydem sheminagvan that you do dry your hands. He's telling us that meikar hadin you don't even need to dry your hands. That's why you see many people they just rub their hands. They make their hands wet and they rub it and they let it dry out. It's better to be machmir to completely dry your hands. It used to be the custom that they would wash mayim achronim and with the moisture they would wipe their mustache. And when you wipe your mustache, part of that water may enter into your mouth. You're putting yourself in desakana. What's going on? My hands are what mayim achronim. This is ruach ra. And then I take that same water and I wipe my mustache and some residue of that liquid goes into my mouth. How could that possibly be? The answer is, there is no ruach ra on the water that remains on your hand. The only ruach ra is on the water that spills off your hand onto a kli or to the floor. How could you do that? Ella, it must be al-karchach. She'ein shara ruach ra ella li'achar she'yordu al-hakarchach. Okay, so that's a very interesting concept. Okay, that's all he says. It's very short, very makatsa. So let me read you over here a supplement to some of the laws of Mayim Achronim from the Mishnah Berurah, from other Poskim. First he says that, I told you this already about the women and children are very lenient, the three different reasons. Okay, v'im ein lo mayim, halpi halacha, if you don't have water, you have to go get water. There's no excuse not to wash my machron. In lo mayim tzarch lechapes achadehem kodem asudu b'shir dalamin lefanov le'acharav. It's a serious business. V'im ein lo klal mayim yinakei lo b'tzor b'ofer o b'chomi dimnakei v'im yivi lo mayim ba'em tzabech samoz yitoloskei. Two halachas from the kaf achayim. Number one, if you don't have mayim achronim, or let's say you're just too lazy to get up and wash, so at least, the very least you should do is to rub your hands on something. Rub your hands on a napkin, on the table. Some you should do some type of action which shows I'm coming to clean my hands. Because there are three different reasons, and to some degree you'll fulfill at least two of the reasons of cleaning your hands or taking away the melach stomis by rubbing your hands. Next thing, let's say you begin birchas hamazon, there was no water, you're very upset, it's normally your custom to wash mayim achronim, that's your custom. And in this situation, there is no water, so you're exempt. And in the middle of birchas hamazon, you're in between the brachas, you recited this first bracha, and now suddenly someone walks in with a bottle of water. So you would think, I should not be mafsik, I'm in the middle of birchas hamazon, it's not proper to do. No, you're allowed and you should wash mayim achronim in the middle of birchas hamazon. He doesn't say if it's mamish within the middle of the perek or between the prakim, between the brachas. I would imagine you should finish the bracha and in between the brachas you should wash, but that's what the Kaf HaChaim says. Okay, now it says that you're only supposed to wash until the second knuckle, until the knuckles. What about the thumb? The thumb is this. Now I take it back. I take it back. Not until the knuckles. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The second perek. The second perek means until where the fingers bend. The first, the second joint, not the knuckles. I made a mistake. You only have to wash a small amount. You have to wash until where it bends. Now, what about the thumb? The thumb, you only have to wash until the first joint, because the thumb has one less joint than the other fingers. The gamal etzba hagudol ad chivum lekaf.
That is the knuckles, the second.
Okay. There are different opinions. It says, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you only have to wash until the joints. According to the Mishneh Berurah, he brings down, many disagree. You have to wash until the knuckles. I told you the knuckles. That's not the Kitzur. That is another opinion. The thumb, different opinions. Either the thumb, you only have to wash until the first joint, or some say you have to wash until the knuckles. You have to wash the thumb until the knuckles. Obviously, you're going to need a lot of water to do that. Next is, how much water do you need? So, if you want to be machmir, it seems you should use a revius, a full measure of water. However, some say you should bidafka, this appears to be the more common minig, you should bidafka not use a revius, because Bizman has said the ikar reason why we wash mayim achronim is for Kabbalistic reasons, not melech sedomis, and not to clean our hands. And for Kabbalistic reasons, you never want to give the sitra achra too much honor. You give him just a token. If you give him too much, I don't know what this means, I'm just saying words, it could work against you. So washing to throw a bone to the satan, if I'm going to take a whole shear, bring out a big cup, a negelvasa cup, and wash, you're giving the sitra achra too much honor. Kabbalistic reasons.
Some sort of
opening to make trouble. And for that matter, this is what he says, minig olam is not like this, you should not use something that's too nice. You should use something that's very plain and ugly and mundane. If you're going to buy a $500 mayim achronim dish, you're giving the satan too much. He's not worth it. He doesn't deserve a fancy, expensive silver platter. But of course, you should have at least enough water. Another very important halacha, he says, is that you have to pour. People make this mistake all the time. You go to Shalosh Shudas, they're in a rush, or they want to be very cute. They just dip their hands into the cup. They dip their hands to collect a little bit of liquid, and they wash their hands, and they're done. You have not fulfilled anything. You have to pour. You have to pour. You want to be maker. You want to pour a small amount, less than a revius, just a teeny amount until the second joint, just to get everything wet. Fine. You can use this teeny amount, but it has to be done in an action of pouring. To dip your hands into a utensil to pull out some water or to wet your fingers is not a fulfillment of the halacha of mayim achronim. That is an important halacha. Okay, the kli we mentioned should be very simplistic, because you don't want to give too much cover to the satan.
But you want to give cover to the baal shabbai. She wants some nice dishes.
I don't know the answer. I guess so. Another important halacha that he doesn't, that's not mentioned here. This is an important halacha. I don't know why it's not mentioned in the Kitzur. And people, this you see, people are very nizer. You have to remove the mayim achronim from the table before you bench. It's not proper to have on the table the mayim achronim, it's dirty water. However you look at it, whether the water is ruach ra, because you have poured, so whatever falls off your fingers, it's sure upon that water ruach ra. Or if your hands are really dirty, if your hands are really filthy and you pour water, it's disgusting. It's water that's dirty. It's full of bacteria. You don't want this. So it's not proper to recite Birchas Hamazon in the presence of Mayim Achronim, the residue of the Mayim Achronim, it should be removed from the table, or the very least, it should be covered. This everyone does. This is nothing which you always see people covering or taking it away. Okay, that pretty much concludes the basic beer skeleton halachas of Mayim Achronim. Now we go to laws of benching. Halacha Gimel. Ein lahasir mapa velechem alad alachar birchas hamazon. The point halacha that everyone knows: you should not take away all the food until you finish benching. You always should have food on the table, food that's roi lachila, not just crumbs, but actual food that's roi lachila on the table when you recite birchas hamazon. The basic idea, as we'll see in a moment, is because you want the bracha, the birchas hamazon, to be chal. It should spread from the bread that's on the table to your parnasa, to your livelihood. Ein lahasir hamapu. Do not remove the tablecloth. The halechem ad leachar birchas hamazon. Shetehei pas munachas l'shulchan b'shas birchas hamazon laharos, to show when you are reciting the bracha. Ki yesh shefa me'es Hashem yisparach. There is an abundance of blessing from Hashem yisparach shemo le'echol, to eat. And ulohaisir, to leave over. If a person has such bracha where he leaves over, he knows that he's blessed. If you eat everything that you have, there's nothing left over, that is a sign, there's a lack of bracha. Bracha, that's why many people, when they pour the wine for Kiddush, they pour a little bit and it should overflow. When it overflows, that's a sign of bracha. You have more than what you need. If you have exactly what you need, that's not so pleasant. Now, Havdalah Kiddush, everything, all types. Every time you pour a Kiddush or bracha, there is an Indian to pour a little teeny bit more to overflow, a teeny mashu. Yeah.
Don't leave a drop of food for the sultan or something?
Salt. I'm not familiar. No, I don't. I'm not sure about that. Maybe you're right, but I don't think so.
Right,
I think.
So what is something that I don't know, Mark, that you should not pour over because it's balkashkes?
Too much. You shouldn't pour over this with. But a mashahu, since you're pouring over for a purpose, that's not balkashkes. Whenever you do something for a purpose, there's the classic what's it called? The tainus, self control. From cuts, wherever it comes from, it's discipline, where you never eat the entire portion. If you're served a meal, you leave over a small amount to show I'm in control, not the food. Bal taiva, you can't control yourself. It's delicious, gotta eat more. You fill the whole. No, discipline. Oh, but it's bal tashchis. I'm wasting a piece of you can feed people that are starving out there. Yeah, it's not bal tashchis. You're leaving over a small amount to discipline yourself. That's not called bal tashchis. It might be a little expensive. That bite that you may take may be worth $2-3, but the discipline you gain, self-control, is well worth the price. So same thing, if you're pouring over a little bit more, that's not necessarily bal tashchis. Next. Nehagin. So he gave here the kitkas in exile from Tanakh. Elisha to Mishoso, the Isha Hashinamis, she told him, I have nothing more to eat. They're coming to take my children as slaves. So Elisha told the woman, do not worry. What we're going to do is we're going to call your neighbors, borrow utensils, and we're going to pour from this flask of oil into all of the other kelim, and the miracle is going to happen. It's not going to end. Do not worry, eat and leave over. So in part of that discussion, he told her, you're going to leave over. You see that a bracha comes when you have what to leave over. When you recite bracha samozim, it's an incredible concept. You're bringing down a blessing into your home. You don't want to bring down the blessing on an empty table. You want to be on the table, there should be a piece of bread. And that way the blessing will be chal on the piece of bread, and from that piece of bread will spread to all the other foods, contagious. All of your food, all of your assets will be blessed. But if your table is bare, and the blessing comes down, there's nothing for it to be chal upon, then you're not going to get a full bang for your buck when you recite Birchas Hamazon. Aldova reik ela kishyesham ezadavich moshom alisha leishas avadya ma yesh loch babois. When Elisha wanted to give her a bracha, he said, I need something to start with. I need something to work with. So I have a flask of oil. From that flask of oil, we'll fill up barrels of oil. We'll fill up gallons of oil. You have to have something for it to be challah. Now, what is the halacha if you have tachah, you forget, you're about to bench and there's nothing on the table? So the halacha is to go back into the kitchen and bring something out. If you have tachah, nothing on the table, get something.
Crumbs
is not enough. Look what it says here. I'll read you what it says over here. I'm reading over here what it says from, it doesn't say who, from the Acharim, the Pisket Shuvas. Omnam yizor shelo laniach l'shochan pas. There is one thing, though. Okay, there is one exception. Crumbs is not good. I saw that somewhere else. Okay, I don't remember where. Give me one moment. But there's another important halacha. Don't leave a full loaf of bread. You should have a slice. Amnam yizar shaloi laniach al shulchan pash shleima mishum de mechse l'shem avoidas koychavim. This was a form of idolatry to put on the bread on the table a loaf of bread. Ha'orchim lagad shulchan. It's a pasuk. The people who would arrange lagad. Lagad was the name of an idol. Their table with bread. V'im ein loy ela pashleima yanichenu ala shulchan. But if it's all you have, it's okay. It's all you have. You can put on the table a full loaf of bread. You don't have to be careful about this. This Kabbalistic thing of Avodah Zarah. Anyway, we don't have Avodah Zarah in our times.
We have a little emergency packet of a fruit, a raisin,
yeah,
a piece of vegetable, and now a little piece of bread.
You put on the table.
Carry with us always to avoid the problems with brachas. You know, we should eat the brachas mikashir before the special have a piece of bread.
You put on the raisin, the shalach mons.
Okay. Okay, no, he does say, I take it back, he does mention here crumbs. He says crumbs are enough. He does say that. He says crumbs are enough. Yeah. Crumbs are okay. The machlum of Bukama Shulchan is Nefadim Yesh the Shai Alkol Shulchan Ma Pas, the Chen Elchid Rachim Shulchan Bula Shulchan Yeshan Bits, Bitsiglesen Ma Pas, the Bukhs Mosin, people even you're traveling. You should be careful, he says, even when you're on the road. You're on the road, so in your container, whatever you're using as a table, you should leave over a small amount before you recite Bukhs Mosin, for the Bracha should be Chal upon something. Okay, let's go. The other one, other halach of salt. Never take the salt off the table. That's what you're referring to. Always leave on the table salt. Salt, for some reason, is a protection against the satan. I'm reading what it says here. Chumo kein ein lohoser hamelach me'al ha-shulchan ad la'achar b'ruchas ha-mazon v'yeshakas hush ein lohoser ho'atzamos v'aklip in me'al ha-shulchan. Bones. That's not the custom. People don't leave bones on the table today. Amnam oichel seruch ha-mos. Anything, of course, that's disgusting. That's not pleasant. That, of course, should be removed from the table. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. The Shira Mesem Halacha. That's further on. That's the next halacha. Let's go to halacha Dalid. Noihagin lohaser es hasakinin miyal hashulchan koydin birchas hamazim. The minig is to remove the knives. Why? We all know the reason. Because when you come to Yerushalayim Ircha, once happened, the person stabbed himself. The tsar, uvenei Yerushalayim Ircha kodesh ben herav yameinu. When a person remembers the Churban Beis Hamikdash, he could have so come to such tsar, he would inflict harm upon himself. Therefore, it is a sakon and must be removed. Oy lechasoyis, or at the very least, to cover the knives. Ki hashulchan, and I told you a Kabbalistic reason. Here the kid tells you the ikar reason. You have to always don't lose inside the ikar, because the shulchan is compared to a mizbeach. The mizbeach is marich yamav ushnoisav shel adam. A knife is mekatzer yamav ushnoisav shel adam. You don't want to mix these two together. Oy lechasoyis, ki hashulchan domel mizbeach umizbeach nemar loisonif aleihem barzel lefisha barzel mekatzer. The shulchan to the mitzvahs that one does on his table, he also extends his life. Well, when you eat, you need the knives, but when you're reciting Birchas HaMazon, that's when the bracha is coming down. That's like that's a holy moment. And at that moment, at least, the knife should not be there. Shagadol koicha shalagima, great is the koich of legima, is siddaka, is serving meals, being a host, being generous. Shemashua shechina. Shabbos is different. Shabbos, you do not need to cover the knives. Kibuchol mechasna simulation koicha shal esa, v'shabbos to the yomtov, ain satan v'in pegara. A Shabbos, you could be more lenient. You don't need to cover the knives. The minig is minig. The minig is, if on Shabbos you don't, and on the chol you do, remove, and Shabbos you don't. If that's the minig, that is the minig. Next, halacha, hey. Afilo yachal rak zayis pasach levarich pirchas hamazon. What is the shear? The shear is a kezayis. Even though you may not be satisfied, it doesn't matter. A kezayis lechiv midrabanan to recite birchas hamazon. Very interesting. Shi'anim mitzvah b'halacha. Halacha beis rak zayis pas. Ayin b'shem b'adam beis. Ayin b'shailus shuvis panim yiros. Shehela de after b'achila shel isurin chayiv b'kezayis mitzumsum imma shabein ha chanichim. Between your teeth, between your gums, If a person eats nevela, exactly a kazayas of nevela, he squeezes one fluid out, a kazayas approximately one fluid out, he squeezes in a kazayas nevela into a schnapps cup, and you eat it, and part of that kazayas is still stuck between your teeth and your gums, a person is chayiv malchus, because he has put in his mouth, he has done a maisa achila kazayas, even though not all of the kazayas has actually gone down his throat. Part of that kazayas is lost in the teeth and the gums. So technically you don't have a full kazayas in your stomach, down the esophagus. It doesn't matter, you're chayef. But when it comes to birchas hamazon, since the issue is v'yachalta v'sovata, to be satisfied, even though technically you don't need to be satisfied, because midrabanan, even if it's not a severe, you have to bench, but the very least, even for a chiyuv birchas hamazon midrabanan, it must be the derech severe. And what is derech severe? How does one become normally satisfied? When the food is swallowed down his throat. If the food is not swallowed, you're not chayiv to make birchas hamazon. So if a person takes in a schnapps cup, exactly one kazayas, and he chews it, and he eats it, and a certain part of it is still stuck between his teeth and his gums and his mouth, you're not chayiv to recite birchas hamazon because you did not swallow a full kazayas. Fascinating difference between isurin and birchas hamazon. In the stomach, and you have to be, your stomach must be satisfied. Besides what is between your gums. Another halacha. Let's say you eat and you vomit. A person eats a kazayis and he vomits. Does he require to recite Birchas Hamazon? No. Okay, it's later on. That's a discussion. Pashas, you don't need. Also, that's not called achila, and you don't need to recite Birchas Hamazon if it's fed through a feeding tube. That's the general consensus. There is no Birchas Hamazon, and on Yom Kippur, it's not called that he has eaten. Okay, next, let me just see what it says over here in number. Okay, next. Halacha Vav. Lo yivarech me'umut. You should not make a bracha when you are standing, lo mahalach, not when you are traveling. Elo miyushav, the proper time to recite Birchas Hamozoin is when you are sitting. Even if you ate the food when you were walking or you were lying down, and now it's time to recite Birchas Hamazon, you have to stop walking, to sit down, to sit up, and recite it with kavanah. Do not sit in a way, a fashion that's arrogant. El Eliyeshev, sit in a normal position. The Yilbash Malbush Ha'elyoin, a person should put on his upper garment. Now, what does that mean? It simply means put on your shirt. Your chest should be covered. I don't think Vigam Yiniach Hakoyva Beroishoy should wear a head covering. Okay, so this indeed, by many B'nai Torah, they do this. Not everyone does. This is a common issue. This is an issue, a general issue. When you daven, you wear a hat. But if it's generally your custom to wear a hat when you daven, it's the proper thing to put on a hat for Birchas Hamazon. The person doesn't wear a hat for davening, so that's not his custom, so then it's no different. The gam yaniach hakoiva b'roishoy sheyehe moira shamayim olav. The oira kavana v'yivarech b'eim v'yira, and you should have kavana, you should make a bracha b'eim v'yira, v'lo yasa shum daba b'shosh shumavarech, and you should not be doing anything, twiddling your thumbs, texting, and looking on the cell phone when you are reciting Birchas Hamazon. I just listened to one of the very recent shirin from Rabbi Rakef. And he talks about the different Rabban and the custom of wearing a hat when they give a drasha. It's fascinating shir. Spoke about that the certain Rabbanim that in America, in early America, the Americans did not like when the Rabbanim, the European Rabbanim, came and they gave a drasha with their hat, wearing a hat. Because when you wear a hat, it looks like the way it was interpreted by the people on the receiving end is that you're in a rush to get out of here. I'm just going to tell you what I have to tell you. You hired me to say a drasha. I can't wait to get it over with. I'll say the drasha, and I'm out of here. I'll collect my check, and I don't want to know from you. That, of course, that wasn't true. That wasn't what the people, the Rabbanim, were thinking. But that was the impression the people took from. They took in by observing the Rabbanim. The more modern Rabbanim, the more American Rabbanim, did not wear a hat. It was more of a style. Not that they didn't wear a hat. In the early days, everyone wore a hat. Everywhere, but when they gave the drasha, when they gave a shir, they did not wear a hat. So what's takat b'shat? What? So that's an old minute. When they used to give, the Rabbanim used to give twice a year a Shabbos Hagadol drasha and a Shabbos Shuvah drasha. It used to be a minute where they put on a talis. And indeed, it is the minig. Many people do this. They do wear a hat when they speak Barab. There are different customs in different communities, even among the very religious. There are different settings. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. What's the inyan to wear a hat? So it appears the inyan is, what it says over here, is v'gam yoniach hakoiva berosho sheyehei mora shemayim alof. Wearing a hat is not an insult. You walk into a courthouse, you wear a hat, they'll shoot you down. We all know that. You go to jury duty and you put on a hat, you walk into a court, that's what the clerk's job.
They take off
your hat. They'll embarrass you publicly if you're wearing a hat in a courthouse. Even a yarmulke, they're very tempted to
No, not
anymore. But what
the reason for the hat? Yarmulke years ago.
They didn't wear yarmulkes. So they put on a yarmulke, take off that and put on a yarmulke.
So they put on the hat, the bench.
Oh, you're saying over here? See, the kids of Shulchan Aruch is writing this 100 years ago. So I don't think he's quoting from. Sometimes he quotes straight from the Rambam. You're right. Like even in the beginning. Sometimes he quotes from the Rambam. And sometimes we'll quote from the Mechaber word for word. The Mechaber also is really coming from the Rambam sometimes. But many times he's saying his own words. He's using his own words. So L'chaira, this is talking 100 years ago. It's not so...
Someone marked it, for example, whereby to have two hats. They have the yarmulke and the hat on top of it for brachas.
There's no such thing as two hats. If you're wearing a hat, you don't.
Certain people, when they come to the bench, they put their hand on top of the yarmulke.
There's nothing. What does it accomplish?
There are two coverings over the head.
Two coverings?
Yeah.
Is there a halacha difference between a yarmulke and a hat?
No, there is. A hat is a malbush. A head covering is a kippah. That's a custom. That's an ancient custom which goes back. And we'll talk about that today. After the break, that goes back already long, long time. It could be even goes back 1,000 years. Wearing a yarmulke, what we call yarmulke, a kippah.
It's a different level.
It's a different level. It's a malbush. It's a garment. It's a malbush, and it's another level. So not everyone in modern times. Obviously, it's not the custom by many people to wear a hat. Until even the President of the United States, who was the first one not to wear a hat?
Kennedy did not wear the hat to the inauguration. That killed the hat industry.
Stetson took a hit. Okay. But it's just very interesting what he says here. V'gam yinich, his words are very interesting. A lot of inyan in Musa to learn from his expressions. V'gam yinich hakoyv b'roshah sheyehei why moira shamayim love. That's what a hat is supposed to mean. It's supposed to give a person some degree of yira shamayim. Not supposed to be a style statement. Today we look at a hat as style. That's how the average person says that. Style. This type of hat, that type of hat. Is it a small hat, a big hat, brim, this? That's not what it's about. It's about Yir Shemayim. Shemar Shemayim Olaf. Zayin. Mehagin Shashemim Oinim Omen Acha Harachim. A new halacha. Not everyone knows halacha. He's mocking. He says you have to wear a hat. He has to wear a hat. But half the world doesn't wear a hat.
I learned. Used to wear a hat, jacket, and tie.
Rav Shulkin. Okay, so that's
a. Hat, he's a. When it was over 90 degrees, he took the tie.
That was a different generation. Today, I mean, I don't know what to say. Yesh v'yesh. Mehagim Eretz Yisrael. It's very hot. It's not shaykh even by the Haredim. They don't always wear. The whole style of life is very different. I remember my brother got married in Eretz Yisrael. So I at that time, I grew up, you know, in America, in the yeshivish circles. You go to a wedding. How do you dance by a wedding? You wear a hat, a jacket. Right? All the B'nai Torah. Yeah, I'm sure you've all been to weddings, right? The Yeshivish weddings. Everyone's wearing a black hat, black suit. In Eretz Yisrael, by the most Yeshivish weddings, they don't wear hats and jackets.
White
they just wear white shirts. They wear white shirts.
And the tail sticking out.
And they dance also. They know how to dance. These are young boys. They dance some very sophisticated dances.
They teach them.
Not like in America where it's just,
you shove and you push.
Nonsense circle.
Yeah.
You walk around in a circle and you think you know how to do it. They're subbing. They know how to dance. These are young Yeshivish boys. It's a different culture. And these are among right wing, not dealing over here, not discussing, you know, modern Orthodox and discussing the right wing community. This is how it is. Okay, let's go further. After you say the harachamans, you're supposed to answer amen. Okay, you're supposed to answer amen when the let's say you finish early and you're listening to the balabais recite the harachamon. After each harachamon, you are supposed to respond with amen. Just like, you know, people who go to Beis Ovel, when you say to a person, the person on the receiving end is supposed to answer amen. It's a bracha. When you hear someone being mispal, bless Yisrael, Hashem, chayiv la'anois amen. Let's say you forget to bench, it's now 72 minutes. What's your equal? You're hungry. If you already feel hunger pangs, it's too late, you've missed it, you can no longer bench. What is the shir ikul? What is the time? Can a person really know? Does a person really know when he has hunger pains? You can only make that evaluation. Divrei Chazal have given you a set time. The shir ikul hu sha'ah v'chaymesh, an hour and a fifth, which is 72 minutes. When we call makayim b'sudos gedolos, l'pamim yeshem ben achid l'levrach samaz yeshem izman zeh, v'hayin v'bnei shagam ben time oiskim b'shir u'v'par piros, as long as you're still eating something, it does not expire. Even though from the time that you've eaten bread, you've eaten the main course, it's now more than 72 minutes because someone made a speech. Someone made a long speech, and the speech went on for more than 72 minutes. So from the time you've eaten the main course until benching, it's more than 72 minutes. But in the meantime, you've taken some sips of tea, coffee, ice cream, whatever you're eating there for dessert, that already stops the clock. It's not a hefsek. You can still recite Birch Samazim. It's not proper to have long speeches. You have to bench within 70 minutes. And I'll end with a good joke. There was an event where there were 200 people in the audience. 200 is a big crowd, and someone gets up to speak, and he goes on and on, and slowly but surely everyone starts leaving. There's one person, another person, and then almost there's a mass exodus, and by the time the person finishes the speech, there's only one other person left in the audience. Just one person. And the person steps down from the podium and says to him, "So why did you stay? I'm the next speaker."
Well, could you go over the rock once again?
Nothing. After, if you finish benching and you're waiting for the host or a guest to finish benching and you hear him say harachmon, after each harachmon, you should respond onim. Yeah, before harachmon yilochli lelom bod onim harachmon yisbrach bashman loretz onim. You should respond. When someone says harachmon, you should respond to each harachmon with amen.
Is that only the person sitting at the bench or
anyone in the audience?
Really?
Anyone by the table. Okay, we'll stop.